Court will take the case under advisement. The sixth case this morning is Pierce versus Illinois Department of Human Services.
Please Court. Thank you, Your Honor. This is before us on a motion to dismiss, a 12B6 motion granted by Judge Scott of the pro se complaint filed by my client, Mr. Gary Pierce. Mr. Pierce alleged extremely inartfully that he had been the subject of race discrimination while at the Illinois School for the Deaf, where he worked as as a residential care worker, essentially a dorm parent in the residential units there. He alleged in his complaint that for want of a better way of putting it, he alleged that he was the subject of discrimination for incidents that had, in fact, already been the subject of an earlier charge of discrimination, and, in fact, that charge had been settled. He was attempting, in that situation, to compare and contrast. What he did was he pled himself out of court. The only allegations made in the underlying complaint were of this specific incident, which involved being called a racial epithet and someone not being disciplined for that, and then subsequently receiving a discipline for what he considered to be a much less egregious situation down the road. What the court did below was probably proper on the face of the complaint, but this is a pro se situation. Mr. Pierce is a herring in a school of sharks. He didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't given any direction. He did try to bring more matters before the court in a memorandum of law in response to the motion to dismiss. He alleged that there had been a pattern of discrimination that had occurred over the course of time, and alleged that there were, as he put it, too many incidents to put down in writing, not understanding that that's indeed probably what he should have been doing. If the court below were treating this properly as a pro se complaint and went beyond the four squares of the complaint, which the court noted it could do and then did not do, Mr. Pierce probably should have survived the motion for summary judgment, given the less stringent standards applied to pro se complaints. If, in fact, though, the dismissal was proper, he should have been, as is normally the case, at least in my observation and from what appears to be the case in most of the case law, given a dismissal without prejudice and leave to replead. He had told the court he had other facts. He had told the court that there were other incidents and there were other matters. The court had even noted that. But he didn't know that he could file any kind of a motion to reconsider. All he knew is that he had been thrown out of court and started a desperate search for counsel before he landed on my doorstep.
What kind of settlement was achieved in that first?
The underlying case involving the fishing incident, it's my recollection that the settlement involved job coaching and attempting to help him find another job within the state, and that things of that sort wouldn't happen. It was a fairly loosey-goosey settlement. And in fact, not necessarily germane, he alleges that that's not been followed, and that's a matter of a different, for a different day.
But they took the disciplinary note out of his file.
No.
It's still there. Then.
That's still there. Yes. My memory is less than perfect. I may be incorrect on that, but it's my recollection.
But it was that kind of settlement where he was given extra treatment.
Job coaching, how to succeed on the job, how to get out of what he considered to be an abusive place to work. I'm going to correct that, Your Honor. Further reflection, the 15 days, I believe, was taken out. It has been brought back up in subsequent matters, so there's some question about whether it was actually taken out of his disciplinary record. But that that doesn't get us, you know, to what we're here today on, which is that the situation involved a pro se plaintiff who felt he was wronged, alleged enough to at least raise the question of whether or not there was a pattern of discrimination occurring at the school, did so inartfully that the court didn't give him another chance. He should have been given another chance. If the motion to dismiss was proper, he should have been allowed to replead. We would ask that this court reverse and remand to allow him to restate a new complaint for the court. And if there are no other questions, I'll retire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Legner.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Brett Legner. I'm an Assistant Attorney General, and I represent the defendant, Illinois Department of Human Services, in this matter. Your Honors, this court should affirm the district court's dismissal of Pierce's complaint pursuant to Rule 12b-6. The first point is, as Pierce admitted here already this morning, they're not contesting the dismissal of the original complaint. They're not contesting the district court's finding that the plaintiff did, in fact, plead himself out of court. Next, the statements raised on appeal by Pierce that support his position that the motion to dismiss should not have been granted, in fact, do not provide such support. On appeal, Pierce relies on two statements from his response to the motion to dismiss. The first is Pierce's statement that, quote, he was subject to egregious racially motivated conduct in the workplace or to a pattern of racially motivated incidents too numerous to be submitted at this time. The second statement from the response to the motion to dismiss that he relies on is his statement that he knows that he'll have to be in court to state all evidence of the racial harassment suffered. These statements were not sufficient to defeat the motion to dismiss. First, after pleading himself out of court, Pierce could not simply revert to broad, general, or vague allegations to plead himself back in.
Well, counsel's position is that he wasn't really familiar with the rules, didn't understand exactly what he was doing, and that's why he didn't spell it out. And given the liberal pleading standards in federal court, should have been given that opportunity.
And it is true that there are liberal, you know, there's no doubt that the pleading standards are liberal. The fact that perhaps the plaintiff did not know what he was doing is not necessarily an excuse and doesn't, you know, excuse, you know, what happened in this case. Additionally, there was no reason for, he presented the court with no reason, the district court with no reason to allow him to replead. He never moved to amend the complaint. He never presented the court with a complaint that would have cured any defective pleading. He never moved after the motion to dismiss was entered for leave to amend the complaint. And he never brought to the court any facts that would have indicated to the court that an amendment would be justified here. Instead, he brought these vague allegations. At some time, while I'm working, some sort of discrimination happened against me. And that's just simply nowhere near adequate, even under the liberal federal pleading rules. Indeed, the complaint, or the amended complaint, or if he was allowed to try to plead one, would have to allege facts bearing on all material elements necessary to sustain recovery under some viable legal theory. The facts he alleged would have had to have given the Department of Human Services some sort of notice of the conduct at issue. That simply was not reflected in the statements that he made in the response to the motion to dismiss. He had to point the court to something, and he failed to do that. As to whether the court erred when it failed to give him leave to amend. You know, that's a discretionary matter. That's a matter. It's up to the district court's discretion. That's not going to be. That should not be overturned absent an abuse of that discretion. And again, here, where the plaintiff did not give the court any facts to suggest, you know what, maybe there is a viable legal theory here, the court can't be said to have abused its discretion. That's especially true where he never sought leave to amend, either before or after the motion to dismiss. He never presented the court with an amended pleading. And in fact, all he ever said was, well, you know, court, I have evidence that I was discriminated against. He has to make some showing of that for the court to reasonably make a decision, make a reasoned decision as to whether allowing him leave to amend would be proper. He never made that showing. Based on the facts of this case, based on what he did put before the district court, this court should not conclude that it abused its discretion when it did not give him leave to replead. And if your honors have no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Briefly, we are contesting that the motion to dismiss shouldn't have been granted. We are saying that it shouldn't have been granted. And if the court had looked beyond the four squares of the complaint at the memorandum, etc., there was enough there, albeit barely and only in a pro se situation, to say that the case should have moved forward. He did allege a very vague pattern and practice at the school. That should be enough in a pro se situation. I mean, Judge Easterbrook, looking at the matter from the opposite direction, where the complaint was 12 pages long and it should have been 6, noted that simply saying I was turned down for a job because of my race states a claim in a pro se situation. In fact, that is admitted, directly taken from the state's brief. Lawyers know about the time limits for Rule 59. Lawyers know about the availability of various methods of achieving relief. Pro se plaintiffs simply do not. If you read the material submitted by Mr. Pierce, you will see that he assumed that he was going to be able to present all of his facts to the court, and that absent actual courtroom testimony, he had not yet even presented his case to the court. He's been disabused of that misunderstanding, but at that time he did not. We're simply saying that he should have been given another chance. If he fails, he fails. But another complaint is not an outrageous request on his part. Regardless of whether or not the motion to dismiss should have been granted, which I say it shouldn't have been, it probably needs to be restated, given what he has learned since and what the court said in its order. There's no doubt that a clear complaint could be put before the court, and we're asking for the opportunity for Mr. Pierce to file an amended complaint. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Both counsel, we'll take the case under advisement.